How many anticipate helping at the Easter egg hunt? Raise your hand if you're going to help. Here's what we're going to try to do after church today. We're headed for the youth area. Is that correct? And just get some things done that'll help Saturday go well. It was very blessed last year. And if you could spare, 15 minutes or more to get an assignment. We need folks to take assignments and say, I'll do this. You can count on me. I'll be there. And that'll help the planning go very well. And we're excited about what the Lord will do that day. Pray for young ones to attend. Please invite them. You're the messenger. You and I are the messengers. So that's part of the Christian walk there. Well, the prophet Ezekiel would have said amen to a lot of what Ed shared and a lot of what Laura sang about in terms of knowing God in a very difficult time, because he was a prophet who ministered in what was called Israel's darkest hour. And they had a lot of bad times in the past, but this time was really rough for Ezekiel personally and for the nation of Israel. They had been taken over by the Babylonians. I think that's either modern-day Iraq or Iran, not quite sure which one, swooping into Israel. Israel still, recovered being there today, and conquered Israel. So you can imagine the emotional impact that would have on each of us. If just Israel, hey, Israel's conquered, you wake up Monday morning and that's the news. That was really the news for Ezekiel. And 3,000 Jewish folks were taken to Babylon as POWs, you might say. They were there. And Ezekiel was called to be a chaplain to the prisoners of war. So there he is, a difficult job. And the bad guys have won. And the good guys are up the creek. So what do you think the Lord is going to say to people in that boat? Some folks already in life have faced similar times. You might say, I can remember the worst day of my life. And maybe a number of days jump into your mind. Or that was the worst year of my life. And this is why. And this was a part of Ezekiel's experience and a part of the experience of God's people there. Certainly when we go through something like that, it's good that God sends himself and sends a message to us. Because when we're in the dark, we need some light. And if you think of the Lord himself, I think the Bible teaches that the Lord has bad days too. Okay, so when you have a bad day, God's not just up there all happy and, providentially joyful and say, hang in there, my son or daughter, and, you'll be smiling by next week. His heart is in there with us. And certainly God had a bad day in Gethsemane when Jesus anticipated being separated from the Father and Jesus' own friends. Certainly Jesus had a bad day on the cross. Certainly God has a bad day when you and I walk away from him or indifferent to him in some manner. So the Lord understands the predicament of Ezekiel and the predicament of his own people. In chapter 4, the Bible tells us that the people were hungry. They had to ration food and water. And they drank the water and ate the food in despair and anxiety. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that kind of meal. It's not an enjoyable meal. But that's the way they were feeling. Storms on the outside, bigger storms on the inside. What would God say to a people in such a predicament? God would say this throughout the book of Ezekiel through the prophet. He would say, I'm taking charge. I'm in control. I am sovereign. And he says 65 times through the book of Ezekiel, when God's people are really having it rough, he says, then they will know that I am God. Then you will know that I am God. In the biggest storm you and I face, God wants us to know, he's God. My soul can't rest anywhere other than with him. And that's where I want to be. So no matter what happens, then you and I will know that he is God. Just a sampling of that in the chapters of Ezekiel, you could run through yourself and get the 65 of them. Chapter 6, God says this, you will fall and you will know I am the Lord. So even when we're at our worst, part of the lesson is God is God. I want my eyes on Him if I fall down. Chapter 7, God says the scariest thing I ever heard. I will not have compassion on you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. It's hard when God doesn't seem to be helping. He's going to come through for us, but in His timing. Chapter 11, chapter 16. I will bring down on your heads what you have done. That's accountability. Chapter 16. I will establish my promise to you. So God starts to bring good news. So there's news of where He confronts, and there's news when He sets us free with the truth. Chapter 20, He said, I'll give you rest. Connects it with Sabbath. Chapter 28, no longer will you have any enemies. And then you will know that I am the Lord. You say, ooh, we want you to be that way, Lord, for us. And He will. Chapter 34, the people will be secure in their land and no one will make you afraid. Can you picture the whole month of April? You could say, I went the whole month and I wasn't afraid one time. And then I knew God was the Lord. Chapter 37, this is a precious one. As we face eternity, then when I bring you up from your grave, you will know I am the Lord. That's something good. The Lord promises to conquer even death for us. So God, through Ezekiel, points to Himself and says, I'm the good news. John Piper wrote a book that made a big impact in my life called God is the Gospel. That's a good one for us as Christians. God is the Gospel. One of the great excitements of my life is to try to get myself and believers to realize Jesus and following Him is what life and church life is all about. Jesus and following Him is what life and church life is all about. And occasionally we get off course. We think it's about A, it's about B, it's about everything but the Lord. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And God is the good news. Piper in his book, a little bit like Ezekiel, he lets us know we can't get any higher, deeper, more powerful, or life-changing than the Lord. Charles Spurgeon, who was a preacher, said, I have one passion, and it is not preaching. It is Christ. That's a good one for you as a follower of Jesus. The Lord is the Savior of the people when we're wiped out by sin and evil. When Ezekiel sees the Lord as God shows up, he falls down. And I've fallen down a few times before God. I'm not so sure it was because of who God was or I was just tired. But that's what Ezekiel did. And Ezekiel starts to be more impressed with God than he is with his real and painful problems. Okay, God's greatness doesn't minimize our problems, but before a big God, our problems look like, I think I can know God, even in the midst of this problem. God mercifully takes the form of a man. Ezekiel tries to describe him. He says, from the waist up, it's fire. We got the candles and the fire on the cross. From the waist up, that's the power of Jesus. From the waist down, looks like fire. There's a power of Jesus. There was a rainbow around him. Brilliant light. Radiance was all around him. And Ezekiel said, this was the glory of God. And I heard the voice of one speaking. When Jesus comes in the New Testament, he hits people in many the same way that the Lord hit Ezekiel. Shepherds hear the glory of God. John says, well, when we saw Jesus, we saw the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus takes over for us as followers of Him since the cross, since the resurrection. He's sovereign. He says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Later on in Ezekiel's life, he sees a bunch of dry bones in the valley. They represent the people's relationship with God. How's my relationship with God? I'm dry and I'm dead.
You won't be the first one who ever said that. Okay, the whole nation said that at one time. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, I don't know. It's up to you, Lord, pretty much. And God says, well, speak to the bones and speak to me. And as Ezekiel did, God says, watch what I will do. And life comes from that, which is really wiped out. You know, which is a picture of our soul without God, really wiped out. And then life is like a big army, God said. Look at that. And the point of part of the good message of Ezekiel is this. When we see God as He is, when we have a view of God that's from the Bible, or a high view of God, most of our problems get put under His care. In other words, a great view of God is the solution to many of our difficulties in life. If we could just touch the hem of His garment, as it were, or be like Thomas and say, I'll believe if I could just get a little bit closer, put my hand in where He died for me, then it's going to be okay. In fact, I will, with God's help, I will know His care, His victory. A high view of God. If you and I could see God for 5 seconds, all our problems would be a lot different. And then we try to have reminders of the Lord. We can't see Him, His Word, His creation, one another, and His table changing us. We want Him to be far at the top and our problems under Him. Jonathan Edwards said, God's greatness would always be on our minds and His love would be our eternal feast. Something about really knowing God that makes the big change we need. Francis Chan, who speaks to young people, said one of his favorite worship parts in the Bible is when a woman comes to see Jesus and breaks some perfume on His feet and cries at His feet, wipes Jesus' feet with her tears. And she just says that it's time to know Christ. It's almost like, you know, then she will know the Lord is God. And we might not do that physically ever with the Lord, but don't you want to be that way in your heart to Him? Just say, hey, I'll just, you know, everything that I am, my emotions, my commitments, my affection for Him. The response of other people that day were a little bit like this. I just want to ask Jesus some questions. I just want a little bit more information from Him. But the gal wanted Him. And if we could have a heart like that and say, give me that high view of Christ and of God that can really change my life. Jesus would take charge, be in control, be sovereign over us. And the lady in worship, she loved much because she was forgiven much. And so at His table today and in our walk, could you ask God for a picture of His sovereignty in your life? And whatever difficult trial or time of joy you're having, could you hear God say to you, then, right at that moment, you will know I am the Lord. And we can have an anchor for our soul and walk with Him into eternity. And let's do that as we meet at His table, at His invitation. Just prepare your hearts with me. We'll pray a little bit for our people and for our own spiritual health.